Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Philippians 4, 6, and 7 will be our focus as we look at the life of Paul again. And here's a suggestion. It's like Paul, cast your cares on Jesus. This is the goal. Like Paul, cast your cares on Jesus. So find Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And at the beginning of this message, let me ask you a pertinent question. Would you give your prayer life a grade? Like if you were your own instructor and you had to grade your own prayer life, what would your prayer report card look like? Would you get an A+? Because your prayer life's all right. It's accelerating. Maybe it's awesome. You're always talking with the Lord. Or would it be a D-? Your prayer life feels deficient. It's not where you want it to be. You don't really feel connected to the Lord. So how would you grade your prayer life? Is it big? Is it small? Is it constant? Is your prayer life erratic? Is it growing or is it slowing? Now, here's the great news. I want you to get a new perspective on prayer this morning as we, like Paul, learn to cast our cares on Jesus. I've always liked the idea of that scripture in 1 Peter 5, 7. It gives us an analogy. Cast all your anxiety upon the Lord because He cares about you. So years ago, I crafted from cast a little acrostic, cast, because I like fishing and I like casting. And I've determined that if you can cast effectively, it generally connects you to a fish. And if you can cast your prayers well, it will connect you to your Father. Quick story. All right, I got this buddy named Dr. Neil Schaffner. And over 20 years ago, I met Neil. And he said, I love to go fishing. I said, I love to go fishing. And he said, hey, look, on one Saturday morning, come with me. I've got access to this great pond around Letohatchee. So we got up early. We went out to Letohatchee. We got on the water. And I mean, we hadn't been on the water for 5 minutes. And Neil, who at one point was bass fisherman of the state of Alabama, you know, I mean, I don't care about his medical degree, but that really impressed me. He was bass fisherman of the state of Alabama. And for Bassmasters, and he said, hey, Jay, look right over there. And here we were in his boat, and he pointed by the bank, and there was a stick. And he said, do you see that swirl right by that stick? And with pinpoint precision, he cast right on that stick. And I'm telling you, it did not wait 2 seconds. Boom! He had a 5-pound bass. And I thought, I love this guy. So we have done a lot of fishing together, me and Neil Schaffner. And he taught me that day that when you cast accurately, you connect. So let's craft an analogy out of cast. That's what we'll do today. Look on the worksheet. Cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Now let's fuse that with what Paul said, our hero, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. What does it say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So pray about everything, any problem that you have. So let's start right there. Here's the fill in the blank, the starting place. Identify your problem. You see, your problem is what you need to identify as something to take to the Lord. What is your problem? Maybe today your problem is a relationship. So many relationships are problematic. I saw this ad on Facebook. It said, for sale, diamond engagement ring worth $2,000. He wasn't worth 2 cents. Okay. Draw your own conclusions. Maybe your relational problem is a wayward child. Maybe you've got a child that's off course, a prodigal, and they are breaking your heart because they continue to make bad decisions that are going to eventually hurt them and pull them away from God and everything that counts. Maybe your problem is in the financial realm. Perhaps you have more month than you have money. Maybe your job is in jeopardy. Maybe you're forecasting your retirement income, and it's looking like it's not going to take you to the finish line. Oh, and that's causing you great anxiety. Maybe your problem is a health issue for you or for a loved one. We've all seen this storm hit. I mean, just a week ago, we saw the name Michael, tropical depression. It quickly formed up into a Category 1 storm. And then it came racing up toward the panhandle of Florida, building strength as it goes, just kind of slicing on this odd course. It looks like my drive on a golf course, just a big old slice. And it hit Mexico Beach, Panama City Beach, St. George's Island. It ripped up through Tallahassee, leaving a path of destruction. 5 people were even killed in Virginia. You see, that's a picture of the fallen world that we live in. This is a stormy place. We all have problems. So that's why, regardless of the size or the source of your problem, this message has so much meaning, because I want you to have a prayer life that is A+, that is always accelerating. So here would be my suggestion today. My suggestion is this simple: let's learn to cast. Now, here's what I would suggest. This is not any ear candy. This is basic spiritual meat and potatoes. So this is like that football play where you give it to the fullback and he runs for 3 yards up the middle, okay? This is what we've got in front of us today. We have got a look at a spiritual basic, how to cast all your cares upon him because he cares about you. Let's begin with letting C stand for confession. C in cast stands for confession. Confession is a Greek word that's a compound word, homo lego. Homo means the same as, like for instance, homogenized milk. When I was a kid, I used to milk a cow. And when you took the milk from old Bessie, that cream would float up to the top. And we would separate it and make butter from it, or just drink pure cream. I'm sure it was horrible for us. But anyway, homogenized milk is that process where the dairy, and they mix it all together, and it's the same as. Lego means to say. It's not a small toy. No, Lego is not a small toy. Lego means to say. So homolego means to say the same as, to agree. That's what a confession is. Somebody accuses you of something and you say, I did it. You confessed, or you agree with the accusation. So what does God want us to confess? Well, it's simple. He wants us to confess that he is holy and we are not. He is holy. He is different. He is perfect. He is pure and we are not. That's our initial confession. It's not only an initial confession of faith that acknowledges that we're a sinner, it is our ongoing need that we need cleansing. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think, when you confess your need, then God starts to respond. Let me give you an analogy. I've traveled 7 times in India. I've gone into many, many homes in India. Do you know what you do when you're in India and you're about to walk into somebody's house? What do? You take off your shoes. Now, if you've ever been to India, it is a really dirty place. People are fabulous, but they have a different worldview. Like, for instance, they believe that cows are sacred, so cows will just wander around, leaving cow deposits everywhere. So when you're walking around, I mean, you're just stepping in all kind of stuff. So if you go into a house, what's the first thing you do? You take off your shoes so you don't track all that soil into someone's house where you're about to eat. Okay? Remember this. When Moses came into the presence of God in Exodus chapter 3, what did God say? You are on holy ground. Moses, do what? Take off your shoes because the soles are dirty. Now transfer that over to the spiritual realm. You see, my S-O-U-L, my soul, my spirit, it gets soiled by the things of this world. So before I come into the presence of God, what do I need to do? I need to cleanse myself. And that's what this call for confession is. I can remember as a little boy hearing my mother yell out into the back, "Supper's ready. J-boy, clean up." I was out playing in the barn or skinning something or getting dirty, and I didn't want to bring all that dirt to the dinner table. So we naturally, before we meet people or share a meal or go in someone's house, we need to clean up. Listen spiritually to Psalm 66, verse 18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer." Now let that sink in. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if you elevate your sin above the Savior, you impair your ability to pray. So what do you need to do? Well, let me help. As your fellow caster, here's the point on the hook here. Please make this second note. Take God's soap and clean up. God's soap is 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So we agree with God. And what does He do? He cleans us up. If we'll identify what's wrong in our life, if we admit it and promise to quit it, then God cleanses us. And we're ready now to enter His presence. Please make a note of Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. What does it say? "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me into the way that is everlasting." Ask God, as you begin to pray, to turn on the searchlight of His Holy Spirit in your spirit. And then, if there's anything that is pulling you away from God, anything that doesn't look like the Lord Jesus, admit it. Promise to quit it. And do you know what He'll do? He will erase it. He will cleanse it. So after you admit it and promise to quit it, then you can forget it, because it's a cancel check. It is wiped out. Now let's come to number two. So C is for confession. And after we cast our sin away by confession, we then cast praise God's way by adoration. By adoration. A is for adoration. Adoration focuses on praise and worship of God. Now, we know that David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because David had this thirst and hunger for the presence of God, for pleasing the Lord, for praising the Lord. The playlist of David's life was praise. Now, please observe this on your worksheet, Psalm 150 in chapter 150, verse 1 and verse 6 are the same. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In the same way, we express adoration to God. We express adoration to the people around us, don't we? If you admire somebody, don't you give them compliments? Well, let me explain where that comes from. I'll give you an example. For instance, I love my wife, Mary Ruth. I'm just crazy about her. We've been married 4 decades, and our marriage just gets better. I love her, and so I'm always telling her that. I had a counseling session one time with a guy, and they had this abysmal marriage. I said, "Fella, do you ever tell your wife that you love her?" He said, "I told her on our wedding day, if I change my mind, I'll let her know." Is there any reason they didn't have a real good marriage? Okay, what do people need to hear? The affirmation of your adoration. I love you. I care about you. You are important to me. And then you magnify the things that you like about somebody. That is relationships 101. Now, why do we do that? Well, we like that because we are made in God's image. You know, God says, "Praise me." And the scripture tells us in Genesis 1:26 that we are made in the image of God. That's why we like praise. Mary likes it when I praise her. And I like it when she says good things about me. Oh, I like it when my kids say, "Hey, Daddy, we appreciate you. We love you. You're the best." Do I ever say, "Nah, quit that"? No, I say, "More, honey, more, bring it on." That's how we're wired, because we're wired in the image of God. So why does God say, praise me? Because he is worthy of our praise. And so the scripture says, praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his heavens. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now here is the point. You see, you praise God for his attributes and his activity. All right, this is where I want you to understand. As we cast praise God's way and adore him, how do you do that? Well, let me break it down into two parts. You praise God for his attributes and his activities. What are God's attributes? Well, we know that he is holy. We know that he's loving. We know he is patient. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He's kind. He is faithful. Lamentations 3, great is thy faithfulness. In other words, we can count on God regardless of the season or the circumstance. So you praise God for his attributes and his activities. Now, I always think of the three primary activities of God as creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Okay, God is the creator, and we praise him for making everything from the Milky Way to the molecules of our bodies. God made it all. Not only did he make it all, he loves us, and his ultimate activity is redemption. He went all the way to the cross to say, I love you more than you can imagine or deserve. And his ultimate activity is to redeem us, lost, broken enemies of Christ. And now we become his friends and family forever. He redeems us. But it doesn't stop there. He sustains us. He creates us. He redeems us. He sustains us. Who walks with you every day? Who guides you and provides for you? Who guards your way? It's the Lord. So you thank him. Make it personal. That's what David did in Psalm 23. David didn't say the Lord is a shepherd or the shepherd. What did he say the Lord is? My shepherd. Psalm 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In Psalm 28, he says, the Lord is my strength. He is my shield. He is my refuge. So when you praise the Lord, make it very personal and focus on his attributes and his activities. Let me give you another tip that's helped me through the years. I keep a prayer journal. And in that prayer journal, I'll write love letters to my King Jesus. These days, I keep it on my phone in notes. And I've got just reams of information about intercession that connect to some of you, that guide my prayer life. But it's also my expression of praise to the Lord and my love letters to the Lord Jesus. And if you haven't engaged in that discipline of keeping a prayer journal, may I urge you to start that habit this week. Start it today. Start it on Monday. If you'll do it 7 times, it's an entrenched habit, and it will transform your prayer life as you praise God for who he is and what he does and express your love to him. The S is for supplication. Now, you cast your request to the Lord and ask your Heavenly Father to supply your needs. It says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that we can pray about everything. After all, God is the source for everything, so there's nothing too small, nothing too large that we can't bring to the Father. And look at Philippians 4, 19 on your worksheet. What does it say? My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, here's the good news. Jesus in the model prayer put it like this. Jesus said, you can come to God to supply all your needs because he will give us this day our daily bread. Now, note what it didn't say. It said, give us this day our daily filet mignon. It did not say that. Our daily creme brulee, our daily new Mercedes. It didn't say that, did it? Bread is the most fundamental dietary need of any people group. So what is Jesus saying? Trust God with your most basic needs. And a lot of times what you want can be eventually hurtful to you. So trust God to provide what you really need. Give us this day our daily bread. Years ago, I met a missionary who had spent 40 years in Africa. And he said, we saw God do so much as we prayed. And here's what he told me, and I'll never forget this conversation. He said, I have learned to pray the alphabet. I'll pray the Lord's Prayer and say, give us this day our daily bread, and then I'll launch into the alphabet. I said, what? You pray the alphabet? He said, yeah, I'll take the 26 letters of the alphabet and I'll start with A and see what God brings to my mind about that supply for A. Okay, for me, when I come to A, do you know what I pray for? Alex Wolf, my baby girl. And that creates a chain. And then I'll pray for Mary Austin, Andrew Hall, her husband. And then I pray for Jason and Catherine and Sarah and Jer and my grandchildren. You see, I'll pray A and then see what God brings to my heart. But then what's B? It's you, because you're the Baptist. So I'll be getting out my prayer list, praying for all the people that are hurting. And oh, then I just prayed all the way through. C for the years have been the Kearleys. See Sarah Kearley right there and Tim and Charlotte, because they've been my heroes out on the mission field. And for over 20 years, C has been Kearley's and the work of our missionaries globally. Oh, my friend, you see, I would urge you to learn to pray this alphabet, and God will bring to your heart and mind the things that you need to intercede for and God needs to supply. So let that be a new feature of your prayer life and the heart of it. Here's the point. What's the point? Trust your Heavenly Father. Trust your Heavenly Father. You see, you've got to trust your Heavenly Father to know your needs and supply what you really need. Jesus illustrated this prayer principle in Luke chapter 11. In Luke 11, he said, when you pray, understand who God is. Remember, he said, our Father who art in heaven. That word Father is the word Abba, and it's really translated Daddy. In other words, God is not far away and uncaring. Jesus is giving a revolutionary concept that God is Father. He is your daddy. He cares for you in the same way I care for my four children. So Jesus goes on to say, if a child asked their daddy for bread, would the daddy give them a snake? Would he give them something poisonous and harmful and hurtful? No. He'll give you what you really need. That's why it's so important that you trust your Heavenly Father with your needs. Scripture says in Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? That's the great truth, friend. You see, if the Lord provided your greatest need, which is salvation and the forgiveness of your sins so you could become part of his family now and forever, won't he take care of your temporary needs? Won't he give you what you really need? Sometimes people come to me and they say, oh, Jay, you know, I prayed and I didn't get the right answer, and I think that either God is not real or he's not loving or he's not powerful. Time out, time out, time out. Always go back to this analogy. God is who? Your Heavenly Father. See, my kids have come to me with wild requests over the years. I mean, sometimes they'll come to me and they'll have a bad request, and you know what I say? No. Bad request. Can't do it. It'll hurt you. You know, Jason, you're 5 years old. You don't need a motorcycle. Okay, that's just not going to happen. Alex, you don't need a 9mm pistol to take to school. That just is not going to happen. You scream, rant, rave. It ain't happening. Okay? Bad request. But then my kids come and they want something. And it's just a request out of time. So how do I respond? Good request, but wrong time. Slow and grow. Let's just slow up. Let's grow up. We'll get it when you need it. But sometimes their request is spot on. It's just what the doctor orders. It's just what dad thinks too. And I say, go. Not no, not slow, not grow, but go. This is a good request. And you can receive it that way. Why? Because God is your Heavenly Father, and he'll take care of you. He is not going to cheat his children. Now, when I was in college, my freshman year, I met this really nice girl. Her name was Deidre. And we started dating, and this girl had just won the Word Scholarship Contest and got a 4-year full ride, even a monthly stipend for Baylor University. This girl could sing the birds down out of the trees. And she was number top 5 of Miss Texas pageant. She wasn't hard to look at. So she was really pretty. She was super musically talented. And I thought, well, we're the perfect couple. We dated for 2 years. We had our life planned out. She goes off for the summer, works in California. And she calls me up one day while I'm working with Henry Blackaby up in Canada, serving the Lord. And she says, Jay, we're going to have to break up. I've met another guy. Moi? You're breaking up with me? You love me. What are you thinking? So I didn't really worry about it. I thought as soon as we got back to Baylor, I'll get this all straightened out. But when I saw Deidre, she was cold as an iceberg in the north. So I used my secret weapon. Her mama loved me. I called her mama. I said, Deidre's mama, can you imagine this girl's breaking up with me for some crazy guy who goes to OBU, Oklahoma Baptist University? She said, Jay, tough luck, buddy. My heart was broken for about 10 minutes. So what happened? I went to Wednesday night prayer meeting. It always pays to go to church. At Wednesday night prayer meeting at Baylor, there were 2,000 kids there, and up walks this girl named Mary Ruth Simmons. Can you hear the angelic music in the background? And when we met, it connected. And had Deidre not left, I wouldn't have got Mary Ruth. And I'm here to tell you, I got the long end of that stick. Why? Because God does not cheat his children. Go back to the basic point. You see, trust your heavenly Father. And lastly, the T is for Thanksgiving. The T is for Thanksgiving. Paul put it like this to the Ephesians, always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just put this all together. God wants you to trust him. He wants you to connect to him. He wants you to believe that he will take care of you. I'll give you an example. I was having some trees cut. Some trees had gotten diseased in our yard, and called up a buddy of mine who does this kind of stuff, and he gave me some advice about what to do. And so I called this fellow named Steve and said, Steve, I got these trees that are problematic, they're diseased, and my friend says you'll do a good job. So he surveyed the trees, we came up with the price, we came up with the time, and the last thing I told him before we shook hands is, Steve, thank you for not letting these trees fall on my house. I'm going to trust that you will do a good job. I'm going to trust in advance that you won't do any damage. I tied it together with thanksgiving. And you see, that's how God expects us to do. He expects us to so trust him that we thank him in advance for the good result that will come our way as we faithfully follow him. And here's the point. That requires what? Faith. It requires faith. Back to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. 10 years ago, Jason called me and said Catherine was having a massive stroke. Our precious daughter-in-law was headed to death. So what do you do when you get that kind of news? What do you do with that kind of moment? I'll tell you, you trust God. And you say, God, I don't understand this, but I trust you. And I believe your power is bigger than this problem, and it's yours. Constantly in that process, we just kept saying, God, you've got this. This is bigger than us. We cannot do this. God, you've got this. And that requires what? It requires an immense amount of faith. And if you summon that faith that allows you to thank God for everything, then God will prove to be faithful. Well, the last thought, the summary, do not carry your burdens alone. Do not carry your burdens alone. You see, cast them on him. Why? Because he cares about you. These burdens will crush you. The Lord Jesus wants to come along beside you. He wants to be your partner through prayer. There's an old hymn that I love, and we're going to have it as the completing invitation. It goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Well, let's do that right now. Dear Father, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.